In this episode of the God That Would Grow Christian Entrepreneur Bible Study, we are diving into Acts chapter 22.
I'm Stephanie Rodinez, and welcome to the Live Your Purpose as a Christian Entrepreneur Bible Study. My goal is to encourage the discouraged with scripture, inspiration, and resources to help you do exactly what God purposed you to do on this earth, become a Christian entrepreneur. The definition of a God That Would Grow is a woman of Christ who says yes to her God-given purpose, no matter what everyone else tries to say or do. So if you are stepping into your purpose as a Christian entrepreneur, welcome to the God That Would Grow Sisterhood. You are my people, and I can't wait to meet you. Now let's dive into today's episode. And remember, if you want to join me for these live recordings on God That Would Grow's Instagram feed, join me at God That Would Grow on Instagram now. Let's dive right in.
Let's get started with the word of prayer. Father God in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to dive into your scripture, Lord. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence here with us, Lord. Please help us be able to hear what you want us to hear and see what you want us to see. I love you so much, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for all that you've done. In your beautiful name I pray, amen. All right, sisters, today we get to dive into Acts chapter 22 and hear what Paul says to these people who lied on him and got him arrested by Roman soldiers. Now, think about how you would be in that situation. People lied on you, right? They told false tales about you. And what's worse, they wasn't even there to see it themselves. They're believing what other people said. Have the nerve to put their hands on you, drag you out into the streets, and now you get arrested by the popo. Back in the day, that was the Roman soldiers, but you get arrested by the popo, and now you have to go to jail for a lie. Imagine how livid you would be. I know how livid I would be. And Paul, because he's so focused on who Jesus is and what Jesus did on the cross, and Paul is so focused on making sure he tells as many people as humanly possible about salvation, the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross, how to be saved. Instead of him cussing them out like they all deserve, this is what Paul says. Acts chapter 22, verse 1. Paul said, "My brothers and fathers, listen to me. I will make my defense to you." When the Jews heard Paul speaking Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus in the city of Cilicia. I grew up in this city. I was a student of Gamaliel, who carefully taught me everything about the law of our fathers. I was very serious about serving God, the same as all of you are here today. I persecuted the people who followed the way. Some of them were killed because of me. I arrested men and women and put them in jail." Verse 5, "The high priest and the whole council of older Jewish leaders can tell you that this is true. One time, these leaders gave me letters. The letters were to the Jewish brothers in the city of Damascus. I was going there to arrest the followers of Jesus and bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment. But something happened to me on my way to Damascus. It was about noon when I came close to Damascus. Suddenly, a bright light from heaven shined all around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' The voice said, 'I am Jesus from Nazareth, the one you are persecuting.' The men who were with me did not understand the voice, but they saw the light. I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' The Lord answered, 'Get up and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that I have planned for you to do.' I could not see because the bright light had made me blind. So the men led me into Damascus. In Damascus, a man named Ananias came to me. He was a man who was devoted to God and obeyed the law of Moses. All the Jews who lived there respected him. He came to me and said, 'Saul, my brother, look up and see again.' Immediately I was able to see him. Ananias told me, 'The God of our fathers chose you long ago to know his plan. He chose you to see the righteous one and to hear words from him. You will be his witness to all people. You will tell them what you have seen and heard. Now, don't wait any longer. Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, trusting in Jesus to save you.'" Verse 17, "Later I came back to Jerusalem. I was praying in the temple area, and I saw a vision. I saw Jesus, and he said to me, 'Hurry and leave Jerusalem now. The people here will not accept the truth you tell them about me.' I said, 'But Lord, the people know that I was the one who put the believers in jail and beat them. I went through all the synagogues to find and arrest the people who believe in you. The people also know that I was there when Stephen, your witness, was killed. I stood there and agreed that they should kill him, I even held the coats of the men who were killing him. But Jesus said to me, leave now. I will send you far away to the non-Jewish people. Verse 27, the people stopped listening when Paul said this last thing. They all shouted, get rid of this man. He doesn't deserve to live. They kept on shouting, ripping off their clothes and throwing dust into the air. Then the commander told the soldiers to take Paul into the army and beat him. He wanted to make Paul tell why the people were shouting against him like this. So the soldiers were tying Paul, preparing to beat him. But he said to an army officer there, do you have the right to beat a Roman citizen who's not been proven guilty? When the officer heard this, he went to the commander and told him about it. The officer said, do you know what you're doing? This man is a Roman citizen. The commander came to Paul and said, tell me, are you really a Roman citizen? He answered, yes. The commander said, I paid a lot of money to become a Roman citizen. But Paul said, I was born a citizen. The men who were preparing to question Paul moved away from him immediately. The commander was afraid because he had already put Paul in chains and he was a Roman citizen. The next day, the commander decided to learn why the Jews were accusing Paul, so he ordered the leading priests and the whole high council to meet together. He had Paul's chains taken off and had him brought in to face the council. So we're going to move into Acts chapter 23. But do you see how instead of Paul letting those people have it, he was trying to tell them his testimony. He was trying to explain to them how to be saved. He explained to them it's through trusting in Jesus, right? Get baptized, trust in Jesus. That's what Ananias told him. He was trying to explain to them how God had called him and purposed him to bring salvation to others, even though he was the one who used to persecute Christians in the first place. So Paul was speaking with grace. Paul was speaking with love. Paul was speaking with compassion to this mob of people who were trying to kill him. Even though he had every right to condemn them and say, oh, y'all going to hell anyway. Ha ha ha. That's what I probably would have done. But Paul had the grace and the compassion to be able to put aside any anger he felt, any bitterness he felt, and take that opportunity to share the gospel with those people. Now, did they receive it? No. In fact, they were trying to kill him right then and there. But look how Paul still held fast and still stayed encouraged. He didn't cower out. He didn't say, okay, I'm not a Christian anymore. Leave me alone. He was good. He's like, he did his part. And the other thing that I love about that scripture, do you see how scared those soldiers got when Paul said he was a Roman citizen? Now, at this time, Rome was pretty much like the United States, right? If you came for a Roman soldier or for a Roman citizen, Rome didn't just punish the people who came for you. They came and they destroyed the entire town, the entire city. They didn't play no games with Roman citizens. Like you, when if you were a Roman citizen, you were untouchable except for in Rome. So I loved how these soldiers got scared. They got scared out their mind when they're like, we was about to beat down a Roman citizen. Oh my gosh. How much more should we as Christians, as citizens of heaven, as daughters of a risen King Jesus, how much more should we declare our rights that are given to us because we believe in a risen King? Our rights to abundance, our rights to peace, our rights to joy, our rights to having a good life in the name of the Lord, our rights to our land as Abraham's inheritance. How much more should we command those things knowing who we serve and who our God is? I love how Paul shows us this example of claiming your birthright in Christ as he claimed his birthright as a Roman citizen. Sis, the Lord's promises in the Bible are for you. They're not just for your mama. They're not just for your daddy. They're not just for your pastor. They're not just for that ministry on that church or on that YouTube channel or on that television program. God's promises, every single one of those promises that he gave to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, they all come to you. Because as a believer in Jesus, you are Abraham's inheritance. So claim your birthright, claim your victory, claim the destiny and legacy God has for you. And if you don't know what God has for you, sis, he wrote it in the Bible. He wrote it in scripture. It's no secret what God has for you. All you got to do is go through the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Go through these books and read God's blessings for abundance on your life. Go through the book of Romans, the book of Acts that we're reading right now. Go through the book of John. Hear how God wants you to be happy. He wants you to have a good life. He wants you to have fullness of life, like he says in John 10:10. These are your promises and your blessings to live by. Don't let anybody ever take them from you.
All right, sis, thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Let's pause for a moment for today's sponsor.
Picking up with Acts chapter 23, Paul looked at the council members and said, "Brothers, I have lived my life in a good way before God. I have always done what I thought was right." Ananias, the high priest, was there. When he heard this, he told the men who were standing near Paul to hit him in the mouth. Paul said to Ananias, "God will hit you too. You are like a dirty wall that's been painted white. You sit there and judge me, using the law of Moses, but you are telling them to hit me, and that is against the law." The man standing near Paul said to him, "Are you sure you want to insult God's high priest like that?" Paul said, "Brothers, I did not know this man was a high priest. The scriptures say you must not say bad things about a leader of your people." Paul knew that some of the men in the council meeting were Sadducees and some were Pharisees. So he shouted, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee and my father was a Pharisee. I am on trial here because I believe that people will rise from death." When Paul said this, a big argument started between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The group was divided. The Sadducees believed that after people die, they will not live again as an angel or as a spirit, but the Pharisees believe in both. All these Jews began shouting louder and louder. Some of the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, stood up and argued, "We find nothing wrong with this man. Maybe an angel or a spirit really did speak to him." The argument turned into a fight, and the commander was afraid that the Jews would tear Paul to pieces. So he told the soldiers to go down and take Paul away from these Jews and put him in the army building. The next night, the Lord Jesus came and stood by Paul. He said, "Be brave. You have told people in Jerusalem about me. You must do the same in Rome." Ooh, let me tell you something. Jesus came and told Paul. He spoke to Paul. Just imagine that moment. Paul is here in prison. And verse 11 says, the Lord Jesus came and stood by Paul. Like, such an incredible moment. When Jesus tells you something, when Jesus calls you into something, it changes your life. The church that we go to, our pastor says, a relationship with Jesus changes everything. I believe that to my core. And I feel like the Lord Jesus came and told Paul this at this very moment to encourage him. Because remember how Paul got into this situation in the first place. He came back to Jerusalem. The other leaders were like, "Hey, we heard rumors that you're telling people not to follow the law of Moses. So go take these four people to follow the law of Moses." And Paul, instead of him saying, "Well, you technically don't really have to do all those traditional customs anymore to be saved." Instead of him just saying that, he took the four people to do the ceremonial cleansing. And as a result, people threw lies against him, said he bought Greeks back there, which he didn't. All the mob came up and tried to kill the man, like pushing him around. And the Roman soldiers had to come in and take Paul out of this crowd, trying to protect them. All of this happened because he just didn't say in the first place, like, "Hey guys, we don't need to be circumcised anymore to have a relationship with God." He just didn't want to come out and say that. And so I feel like Jesus at this moment came to encourage him and let him know, listen, there's a reason for everything. You have a purpose. I have a purpose. I have a plan for you. Keep going. You feel me? And I feel like Paul must have gotten so refreshed from this. Jesus himself came to him and reassured him, "You're doing the right thing. I got you. Like, I'm going to have you do this again in Rome." Like, for me, that would have just given me so much encouragement to just keep on going no matter what things look like around me. Even when it came time for me to quit my 9-to-5 job, obviously my decision to quit my 9-to-5 job is nothing like what Paul went through. Clearly he was in jail, arrested, probably facing death. You know what I mean? But when the time came for me to quit my 9-to-5 job, I remember some people telling me, like, my husband was good. He, from the second I told him, he's like, "Quit. You good. Go do God, the go full time." He was amazing. But other people in my life were like, "Are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure this water's sanitary? Are you sure that you want to walk away from a steady paycheck like that?" Because my 9-to-5 paid me very, very well, praise Jesus. And I just had to go to God. I just had to go to God and ask him. And I ended up fasting for about a week. And I did, I have a devotional that I wrote called Pray in Your Legend. It helps you confirm God's purpose for your life. So I went through that devotional myself. It's a 7-day devotional. And I heard God tell me not once, not twice, but 3 times that it was time to leave my 9-to-5 and go after God the world full time. 3 different times he confirmed it to me. And the last time was through a dream. And when I woke up, I knew, I was like, okay, this is the time. And nobody could tell me anything otherwise. Like, after that happened, I finally started announcing it like widely, because at first when I was making the decision, I kept it into a very small circle of people, because, you know, you just don't want other people's fears, right, and anxieties to influence the decisions you're making for the Lord. But after I knew for sure, God confirmed it to me in that dream that 3rd time, I knew for sure I was leaving. So I started telling other people, and people were making some points about why I shouldn't quit. I tell you, they were giving me a whole list of this and that, and what about this, and how this could happen, all that stuff. And had I not been so sure from what the Lord told me, I might have been persuaded. I mean, even after I left, I think it was like maybe 11 or 12 weeks later, my old job called me back and offered me another position for an even higher salary than what I left at. And I remember some of my family members have been like, take the job. What are you saying? And I had to stand firm in what the Lord had told me, what I know he told me, confirmed to me 3 different times. And that helped to encourage me and stay focused. Even when things went wrong, if you've heard my story, after I left my 9-to-5 job, you know that I ended up losing about $7,000 on a really bad business decision very soon afterwards. And I could have easily been like, nope, I'm going back. But I knew what God told me. I knew what God had said, and that helped me to stay focused on what he had asked me to do. So if you are in that period of your life where you are making a pretty big decision, right, on your purpose journey, whether it's starting a business or doing a new business venture or launching a new product or service, expanding, something like that, ask the Lord. Pray to him. Ask him what he wants you to do. And when he tells you, believe him. Sis, when he tells you, believe him. And let that encourage you to keep moving forward, even if things go wrong. And even if things don't look the way that you want them to, you're going to see what happens with Paul, right? they can start to look a little dicey a little bit, right? Because in those trials and tribulations, that's where we end up developing our faith even further and relying on the Lord even further. So ask him to reveal to you and confirm to you the path he wants you to take. And when he tells you, sis, do it. Verse 12. The next morning, some of the Jews made a plan to kill Paul. They made a promise to themselves that they would not eat or drink anything until they had killed him. There were more than 40 of them who made this plan. They went and talked to the leading priests and the older Jewish leaders, and they said, "We have promised ourselves that we will not eat or drink until we have killed Paul." Verse 15. So this is what we want you to do. Send a message to the commander from you and the high council. Tell him you want him to bring Paul out to you. Say that you want to ask him more questions. We will be waiting to kill him while he's on the way here. Woo! Can you imagine? These people were so angry, they made a vow to not eat or drink. And remember, the body dies after 72 hours without water. So they basically were giving Paul a 72-hour death sentence. He had 72 hours based on these 40 men, right? Verse 16. But Paul's nephew heard about this plan. He went to the army building and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the army officers and said to him, "Take this young man to the commander. He has a message for him." So the army officer brought Paul's nephew to the commander. The officer said, "The prisoner Paul asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to tell you." The commander led the young man to a place where they could be alone. And the commander asked, "What do you want to tell me?" The young man said, "Some Jews have decided to ask you to bring Paul down to their council meeting tomorrow. They want you to think that they plan to ask Paul more questions, but don't believe them. More than 40 of them are hiding and waiting to kill him. They have all promised not to eat or drink until they have killed him. Now they are waiting for you to say yes." The commander sent the young man away, telling him, "Don't tell anyone that you've told me about their plan." Then the commander called 2 army officers and he said to them, "I need some men to go to Caesarea. Get 200 soldiers ready. Also, get 70 soldiers on horses and 200 men to carry spears. Be ready to leave at 9 o'clock tonight. Get some horses for Paul to ride so he can be taken to Governor Felix safely." The commander wrote a letter that said, "From Claudius Lysias to the most honorable Governor Felix, greetings. Some Jews have taken this man and planned to kill him. But I learned that he is a Roman citizen, so I went with my soldiers and saved him. I wanted to know why they were accusing him, so I brought him before their council meeting. This is what I learned. The Jews said this man did some things that were wrong, but these charges were about their own Jewish laws, and there was nothing worthy of jail or death. I was told that some of the Jews were making a plan to kill him, so I decided to send him to you. I also told those Jews to tell you what they have against him. Verse 31. The soldiers did what they were told. They got Paul and took him to the city of Annapolis that night. The next day, the soldiers on horses went with Paul to Caesarea, but the other soldiers and the spearmen went back to the army building in Jerusalem. The soldiers on horses entered Caesarea, gave the letter to Governor Felix, and then turned Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked Paul, "What country are you from?" The governor learned that Paul is from Cilicia. The governor said, "I will hear your case when the Jews who are accusing you come here too." Then the governor gave orders for Paul to be kept in the palace built by Herod. Woo! Woo! Paul's story's getting dicey, huh? Not only were these 40 people trying to kill him, now he has to be escorted over to another city, to Felix, to Governor Felix, right? By 200 soldiers on horseback just to make sure he's safe. And now he has to sit there and wait for half these guys who was trying to kill him to now come meet him over in this city so that they can accuse him in front of the Governor Felix. Now, imagine that fear. Imagine that anxiety. Imagine knowing that you're the guy who the governor is actually going to be listening to what you say when these people come and accuse you. You're the guy. Or in our cases, you're the girl, right? I always tell my husband, you know those basketball players, like at the end of the game, there's 3 seconds left on the clock and they're the one who's going to get the ball to make that last 3-point shot to win the game. I always say I would never want to be the guy. Like, to me, that's too much pressure. It's just too much. But here's the thing. I truly believe Paul got visited by Jesus in that moment for him to know he's not alone. He's not alone. The Lord is with him every single step. And doesn't that just strengthen you so much? If the Lord is calling you to put on that webinar, host that summit, do that conference, right? Launch that YouTube channel, and you feel overwhelmed out of your mind, you're like, oh my gosh, this is really on me. Jesus is with you, sis. Jesus is with you. You're not alone in it. You're not doing it by yourself. Jesus went into that prison and stood next to Paul and gave him his marching order. It said, you successfully preached the gospel of Christ here. Now I'm going to send you to Rome to do the same thing. Jesus stood next to him and told him, sis, Jesus is here with you. He's standing next to you. His arms are around you. His presence is here with you. His spirit is inside of you. You're not alone in what God is calling you to do. And right now I'm actually speaking to myself too. I am launching by the grace of Jesus, I'm going to be launching a brand new God the Would Grow University app come 2021. And I was telling my husband, you know, praise God, we just rented this office space so that I can film all this new content and get this app up and running and build this thing in 4 months. And I was telling my husband, I've just been feeling kind of overwhelmed. You know what I mean? I've been feeling a little overwhelmed because I've been talking about this moment since I was in college. Sister, in college, when people would ask me what I was going to do, I always said I want to have my own television network. That's what I always said since college. Now, I graduated college in 2008. So from 2005 forward to 2008 is when I was actually in college. So at that time, apps weren't really a thing, right? So back then, I didn't realize that the form that I was talking about was going to come in an app. But now, of course, 2020 in this digital age with sales funnels and digital marketing, I understand I'm going to be creating an app, right? That's what's going to house the God Would Grow television network. And I've been talking about this moment since I was 18. And now that we're here, I'm about to start building this thing. It scares the heck out of me. It really does. It scares the heck out of me. And I love that we're reading this scripture today because I feel like it's God telling me as well, I'm not doing this by myself. It's not just me developing this content and building this app and launching it out and making sure it works smoothly. It's not just me. Jesus is here with me, standing with me, guiding me, leading me, telling me when to go left, telling me when to go right, telling me how to jump, how high, right? It's not just me. And sis, it's not just you. We have Jesus standing with us. So even if it terrifies you, I know Paul must have been so anxious. Even if it terrifies you, move forward and do what God is asking you to do, because he's standing right there with you. And if you need help launching your own Christian business online, you're not sure how to do it, I have a free Christian business toolkit that'll help you get started. You can grab it by going to purposegift.com/businesskit. The link is in the description box of this episode. If you're like, well, Stephanie, starting a Christian business online sounds amazing, but to be honest with you, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. Well, my love, I have great news for you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And what that means is being a Christian is trusting in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So if you want to make that decision today, it's very, very simple. All you got to do is say this prayer with me, and you're going to say, "Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose again. Today, I believe in you as my personal Lord and Savior." Sister in Christ, if you said that prayer, welcome to the kingdom. Angels are literally celebrating you right now. Your name has been written in the book of life. Nobody can take it out. Get into a Bible-based church in your area and get started reading the Word of God. He is truly extraordinary. He is extraordinary, and he loves you and wants the best for you. And when I say Bible-based church in your area, I mean virtual, because we're in a pandemic. Sisters in Christ, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you complete and total purpose over your body, mind, and soul in the name of Jesus, and give you peace, mercy, and favor forever and ever. Amen.
So that's it for today's episode of the God the Wood Girl Live Your Purpose as a Christian Entrepreneur Bible Study. Have any questions? DM me anytime on Instagram or send an email to hello@godthewoodgirl.com. I'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to grab my free Find Your Purpose toolkit to help you get started living God's purpose for your life at purposegift.com. Thanks for listening, God the Wood Girl. I'll see you on the next one.